I'm Hunter Highwell, and welcome back to another edition of the Full Press Islanders podcast. Obviously, a huge day for this team. We're going to recap the weekend, the disaster that it was. We're just going to be completely real about it. It was a disaster. The fact that the Islanders went into Columbus and lost to Michael Hutchinson, and then found a way to turn around and lose to Eric Comrie, get shut out at home, it's a disaster. That cannot happen. Now, I've been saying all season long that this is the most inconsistent team I have ever seen. There are moments when I really do believe they can go on a deep playoff run, and then there are moments I'm like, we're going to find a way to screw it up and miss the playoffs altogether. But obviously, this really pains me to say. It hurts my being as a human being. As a person, it hurts me. I want to say thank you to the Rangers. Thank you for doing our bidding. You beat the Panthers Saturday. The best part about it, I know it's a missed opportunity, and that's exactly how I view it. It was a missed opportunity. You had the Sabres at home. They're a struggling team. All you have to do is beat them. At least Friday, you could say it's a very important point. It sucks that you lost, but you could at least deal with the fact that they showed some backbone. They took over the third period for the first half of it. They tie the game. They get a point. At least they got something out of it. Saturday, I thought they were going to come out flying. Because Palmieri said the night before, we did not show up to play. I thought that was going to be the best effort of the year, and they just got kicked right in the teeth. The Sabres came in, they washed us out, and we had to listen to all the Sabre fans just, like, laugh. That's the worst part. There were, like, an odd number of Sabre fans at that game on Saturday. Because I was there. It really didn't make any sense to me. I was like, Buffalo fan, Buffalo fan, Buffalo fan. And thing is, too, I associate all Buffalo fans together. Not a big Buffalo guy, if you know anything about me. I'm a Jet fan, so, like, the Bills have just completely ruined my life over the last couple of seasons. And the Sabres kind of just, I lump them into that. Even though I love Tage Thompson. But the Sabres come in, they beat the Islanders 2-0 in a game that should never, never, never have been 2-0 Sabres. We had a couple of good opportunities, but nothing to really write home about. Like I mentioned, we could say it's a missed opportunity, which it was, but we could also say it's a wash. It's another game off the list, another game off the games played, because the Panthers lost, and I know the Penguins won, and that freaking sucks. It sucks. But you have to just view it like it didn't happen. Because you're given another couple opportunities here. Now, obviously, you're not going to be playing the Blue Jackets and the Sabres on a back-to-back. Now you're dealing with a couple big boys here. And I'm going to be at the game again tonight because I'm a sick human being that's just, I don't know why I keep going to these games and opening myself up. I'm opening myself up to pain. I really am. But that's okay. Because that's what this team does for us. We open up to it. And whatever happens, happens. But we do play the Devils tonight. And obviously the Devils is a big game for them. You would take a team at the top of the standings. They go down a couple of goals. You think they might be like, you know, the playoffs are in like 2 weeks. Let's just keep the bodies fresh. You know, why go into the dirty areas? But if you're the Devils and you see the Hurricanes, no Svechnikov, and they lost last night in a shootout to the Bruins, you're thinking to yourself, the division's on the table, boys. Let's go out there and let's get it. Because the Islanders just lost back-to-back games. They're weak. They're struggling. Let's go in, take advantage, get 2 points, and put some pressure on the Hurricanes. So the Islanders are going to have their hands full tonight. And obviously the Devils, we'll do a little preview on the Devils in just a minute. But I want to spotlight the Islanders right now because everything that I said over the last week about multiple players stepping up in big spots. Friday night's game, I really want to spotlight a couple of the players that got a couple goals in that game. Zach Parise got his 20th goal of the year. Fantastic season out of Parise. He's got 20 goals. He's making league minimum. He got bought out from the Wilds 2 years ago. And he wants it. You can see he wants to get back into the playoffs. This is everything to him. Kyle Palmieri scored in that game. It's a couple of guys on this team. It's Ed Nelson. Nelson had a couple points. Like, it's just, they got the contributions that they needed on Friday night. That's why I'm very surprised they got shut out on Saturday. Like, getting shut out made no sense to me. I know that they didn't play great defensively on Saturday, but they did score 4 goals on Friday. You couldn't say they weren't scoring. They were just playing a little loose. To me, the difference between the two games was Friday felt like we're playing the Blue Jackets. We're going to go in here and we're going to win. And there's nothing that could stop us. Saturday just felt like we can't lose. We can't lose. We can't lose. And when you play not to lose, you're also playing not to win. And I know that kind of contradicts itself, but it's true. You're thinking about not losing. You're not thinking about winning. And that's just what it felt like, because the Islanders never really got those great opportunities. The Sabres, it almost felt like the Islanders were playing like the last minute defense up a goal for most of the game. I'd say like 50 minutes out of the game, it felt like the Islanders were just trying to prevent the Sabres from scoring, and they never took the incentive to go out and get a goal. Now, there were a couple of opportunities, like Hudson Fashing had a great opportunity. He passed it to Pageau, and Pageau just, it went off his stick. They had a couple of shots. One of them hit the post. Like, I forgot who hit the post in the second period, but that rang throughout the entire stadium. And that was our opportunity. And then obviously the Oposo goal was just the most deflating thing ever. I thought the Islanders were going to have a little bit of response, but then it felt like more of the same. Just, hey, we can't let them get a second one here because we got to keep it within one. Ah, it's 5 minutes left. I mean, you don't get one, it doesn't matter how many the Sabres get. You know, he can't look at Varlamov to save any more pucks. Like, you don't score, you don't win. But let's talk about the Devils now, because obviously we have to put that behind us, a disappointing back-to-back. We move forward to New Jersey. Like Bill Belichick said, we're on to Cincinnati. So when you look at the Devils, you look at one of the most exciting teams in the NHL. They have stars up and down the lineup. Jack Hughes has ascended. Nico Hischier's really good. Dougie Hamilton has been absolutely fantastic for them. The amount of power play points that Dougie Hamilton has is kind of ridiculous. Even Damon Severson has taken the next step, and obviously Vitek Vanacek has been one of the best finds for the Devils. You got to give them credit. They thought they were getting like a 1A, 1B system because Mackenzie Blackwood does nothing but get hurt, but Vanacek has just completely taken over because obviously Blackwood continues to get hurt, and Schmid has been pretty good for the Devils this season as the backup, but I would assume it's going to be Vanacek in net for them tonight. So what do we have to do to slow them down? Because the Devils have just went from a team that could never rebuild, they could never do it right. The thing that jump-started the whole thing, obviously, was Nico Hischier. He's ascended into the number one overall pick that we knew he was going to be. He's a good two-way forward, but he's a great passer. He's a great hockey mind. That's the thing about him. And he's been able to learn over the last couple of seasons of losing that, first of all, he probably hates losing as much as he did. And he's ascended to being that just a really reliable NHL player. Maybe not Hall of Fame trajectory, but he's a star. He's a really good player. And that's a guy that you have to look out for, because obviously all the attention goes to Jack Hughes, and he's the real key to the success of the Devils. He has completely jumpstart the organization, because from rookie year to now, he's a completely different player. Like, I keep mentioning this to a lot of hockey fans. When a guy comes in as a top 10 pick, or as high as Jack Hughes is selected, obviously the first overall pick, we kind of got spoiled about 7 or 8 years ago, which is so amazing to think that it was 7 years ago. But we all got spoiled by Connor McDavid coming in and just completely lighting the league on fire. Obviously, he got hurt in that rookie season, but he was really good before that injury, and he was really good after that injury. Once he scored his first goal after going like 7 games pointless, it was like, oh, I know how to do this. And then Austin Matthews obviously coming in, scoring 4 goals in his first game and having a great rookie season. We got spoiled. And also Eichel in the same draft as McDavid came in. He had a good rookie year. We got really spoiled. Good guys coming in right away and figuring it out. That's not what hockey's like. Hockey's not football. It's a different kind of sport. You're playing a completely different kind of game in junior and college. Yeah, it's physical. It's not physical to the point where if you go to the corner, a 30-year-old defenseman is going to level you, steal the puck, and walk away. And Jack Hughes, Nico Hischier, and also another guy you have to spotlight, obviously, Jesper Bratt. He has completely taken off as well over the last 2 seasons. He had a good year last year, having another great year this year. But these young players for the Devils, it's not as if they were bad players and they just got the picks wrong. We just had to give it time to develop. The Devil fans had to be patient. The Devils knew they had to be patient. That's why they didn't really do anything crazy with Lindy Ruff. Like, Lindy Ruff was telling them, like, guys, it's coming. It's coming along. You just have to wait, and you'll see what these guys are capable of. And then, over time, adding the free agents. Obviously, they overpaid for Dougie Hamilton. Now the deal looks like pretty NHL standard. But they probably told Dougie, outside of the money, hey, this first season, it might suck. But you just got to give these young guys time. And if we take a superstar like you and throw it in with the rest of these young guys that are going to keep getting better and better, you're going to see. And obviously getting Andre Palat, who missed time in the middle of the season, but he's a winner. He's a winning player. You add a guy who's won multiple cups, scored big goals in big games, and he's beginning to show you can't underestimate how much that means to a young team to have a guy come in and show them what it's like to win. Hey, this is how we won in Tampa. This is how you do it. And that's the biggest difference with the Devils. Just the experience that these guys are getting. The experience that they got and the steps that they took this season. It's amazing. It's amazing. And one of my best friends in the whole world is a Devils fan. I love the kid. I'm going to the game with him tonight. We used to make fun of him all the time for saying, "You're a Devils fan. They always screw it up. They're never going to be good. They're going to continue to rebuild. They're always going to be rebuilding for the rest of your life." But look at him now. He's in all his glory, and I got to give him credit. He's being humble about it because he knows he took his lickings. And obviously in the local area, the Rangers being really good, the Devils being really good, the Islanders on the cusp of the playoffs, it's fun around here. The banter's good because all three teams are good. So you got to ask yourself, you're the Islanders, which we are. How do you stop the Devils? How do you beat them? Well, the one thing we have going for us is that the Devils have actually been struggling as of late. They lost like six of the last 10, seven of the last 10. Like, it's been a little bit of a struggle. And I do think it's a little bit of what I said before about the experience being invaluable of guys like Palat and Dougie Hamilton that have played in huge playoff games, played in these big moments. It's one thing to hear a guy tell you about it. It's another thing to do it. Because like I mentioned, they're in a race right now with Carolina. They might be feeling the pressure of trying to win the division. And now there's expectation. You know, before they were just kind of playing and winning games, there's no expectation. Now there's an expectation from the media. They're getting questions about, do you know what you guys are doing? You guys know what you guys are capable of? Like, this is a good team. So maybe the expectation of trying to win these types of games can throw them off. And I do think one thing about this game tonight, the Islanders and their desperation. If they come out and they're flat tonight, that is strictly on Lane Lambert. That is strictly on the coach. You can't have another stinker tonight. It can't happen. It won't happen. I think the Islanders are actually going to play really well tonight. I think it's possible to even win this game. Crazy thought, I know. The Islanders, for some reason, play really well against the Devils, no matter what. And this game tonight is massive. Massive. Because you look at the standings. The Panthers play the Senators tonight. Hopefully Ottawa wins, and the Islanders are able to find a way to get at least a point. Because I don't want to be tied with the Panthers. I don't want them to be even close to us. And plus, Pittsburgh, who knows what they're going to do when they play next. But you can't rely on other teams to keep losing. We got under 10 games to go, guys. This is it. This is the stretch run. This is everything we've built for. And I know I hate when people say this. Well, if you told me at the beginning of the season, we'd be in a playoff spot with 8 games to go. I know it sucks to hear that, but it's true. This is everything we've asked for. We're right here in the spot we need. And yeah, we blew it on Saturday. No doubt about it. But you're given a new opportunity. And I know it's the Devils. And I know the idea is scary. But we can win this game tonight. And they have to win. How do they win? Stop taking penalties. It has to stop. Can't keep giving power plays. Because the penalty kill killed us on Friday. We gave the Blue Jackets a penalty right before the end of regulation. They scored a power play goal. They stuck it to us. Saturday, what happens? No life. There is no life. We need a good start. You can't be outshot 13-4 in the first period again. You got to come out. You got to weather the storm of the fast legs of the Devils. You got to hit hard. You got to slow them down. And you got to show them this game means more. It means more to us. You got to go out there and you got to want it. And if they don't, I have serious doubts about our head coach. Lane Lambert, prove to us that you're the coach that we've been looking for, that we've been searching for. Show us you're the guy. Prove to us you're the guy. That's what we need tonight. Hopefully when we talk tomorrow, the Islanders are in a nice and better spot after beating the Devils comfortably. And it's a happy night at UBS Arena. But until tomorrow, pray for this team. Pray for the coach. Pray for everything. Because the Islanders, just pray for them. Once again, this is Hunter Heibel on the Full Press Islanders podcast.